We are here. I am here. I mean, I just wanted to keep you guys in suspense, just waiting in suspense or something like that. Welcome on in. It is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Soon to be live streaming with the video as well on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. A lot to get to today on the program, certainly. We'll get to the jump here in the next few minutes. Got some local notes aplenty, and we've got a lot of really quality guests on the program here today as well. I mean, we always do, but Sally Gall, first-year head coach of the, I almost said Northern State Volleyball Squad. That's the Northern State alum, Sally Gall. She will be the new head coach for the Aberdeen Christian Volleyball Squad. She'll be joining us here live in studio in about 10 to 15 minutes or so. Looking forward to that discussion with her. And then coming up towards the bottom of the hour, fresh off of a nice win on Tuesday night in Watertown, the head coach of the Aberdeen Central boys basketball squad, Brent Norberg. He'll be joining us as well. That's what we've got on tap here today. Take a look at some Jeep action from last night and also the jump here in just a bit. But first and foremost, I turn things over to my compatriot, Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing today?
I am doing just fine. I've got no complaints. My wife is sick. My daughter is sick, which is a bummer. I mean, actually, I do have some complaints, I guess, in that regard. So I'm hitting the road this weekend, and not a good time to be hitting the road when the young one's sick.
Yeah, I mean, I'll look at it, spin it to a positive. You won't probably get sick.
Well, I had it earlier in the week.
Oh, okay.
Or last weekend slash earlier on this week. I feel like I had a little bit of a head cold. My throat was a little sore. Calling doubleheaders with sore throats, not ideal.
No, it's not. To start the new year, I was feeling it pretty good. Like New Year's Eve, start the new year, pretty tough for yours truly. So it's something that's going around right now.
Yeah, it's called the cold and flu season. We have it every single year, for sure. There's no two ways about it. You know, I was just thinking about this. What would you rather have? Like 4 or 5 days of stuffy nose and sneezing, or like a day and a half of throwing up? I hate throwing up. Throwing up for me is the worst case scenario. So I'll take the cold for about a week over the one day of throwing up.
Yeah, I agree. I need to eat.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be throwing up for a day and a half.
Yeah. Throwing up is the absolute worst. It's just the most unpleasant feeling in the world. So I know this is a sports show, and I know we'll get to all the sports talk, but yeah, welcome to the program. We're talking about bodily functions and throwing up and being coughing and sneezing and all that good stuff. So, yeah, welcome to the program. You never know what you're going to get here on the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Daily sports talk show Monday through Friday. All right, let's go ahead and get to the jump right here and right now with my main man,
Mr. Unlimited.
You're on FSA, 1420 and 98.5. Of course, download the Hub City Radio app. Take us wherever you go. You know, I'm going to be in Sioux Falls on Saturday. I think there's probably going to be a good, solid contingent of Northern State fans down south there on Saturday. I would hope so. And when you do get out of Hub City Radio listening range, just fire it up there on your app, and you can put it onto your speakers there within the car there on the Hub City Radio app or the 605 radio app. So we're going to start up on the local side of things. As I saw this story come through yesterday from the Mitchell Republic, as Woonsocket Wessington Springs Sanborn Central, they are going to rename their football co-op. They will no longer be the Blackhawks. They will be the Bucks. So they go from Blackhawks to Bucks. That's a thing nowadays.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, rebrands, they happen all the time. My biggest thing is the logo looks exactly like the Milwaukee Bucks logo.
Yeah, it does. Look
so
at that.
Someone's going to get sued.
Look at that.
Well, see, that's the thing is you don't really see that a whole heck of a lot on the
high school
to pro crossover. You don't see a whole lot of situations where the pros teams are suing small high school South Dakota teams. Don't see that happen very often. But I kind of like Blackhawks. I thought there was nothing.
Blackhawks, Bucks.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's a B.
It's an A-B name, but I don't know. I kind of like Blackhawks.
When you first said that, I was like, are they changing the name of the school to make it shorter? With all those names, Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central, it's a mouthful.
It is quite the mouthful. I'd be okay with that. But no, they're sticking with the whole co-op there. Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central. But no longer Blackhawks. They're going with the Bucks. And I guess
I'm they got to change jersey colors then, right?
I think they were black and red and also some blue there too. And the colors within the photo are still red and blue and some black. So I think the color scheme is staying the same, but the name is changing. So just a little FYI is next year we talk about the Bucks and you start to say, hey, no, they're the Blackhawks. Well, they're the Bucks coming up this year. So keep your eyes out on that. Also of note, my buddy, I got a college buddy of mine. He is from the East Coast. So he talks about Fordham basketball. He's a big Fordham basketball guy.
Is that New York?
Yes.
Okay, I've heard of it.
I think it's upstate New York, I feel like. I could be wrong.
Ivy League?
Yeah, I believe so. They're an Ivy League team. He's a big fan of Fordham. And they played in a game last night. They were celebrating their, I believe, 100th anniversary of their home floor, that sort of thing. So they're playing UMass last night. Typically, it's a big game, couple teams around 500. It's not the best basketball in the world, but the game turned out to be quite interesting. In triple overtime, UMass beats Fordham 120-118. So if that's not good enough for you, a triple overtime game, I'll do you one better. Get this, 78 fouls within the game. Nine players combined fouled out of that ball game. Nine. Free throw percentage for UMass, they shot 65% from the free throw line. They were 37 of 57 from the free throw line, and they won the game by two. As for Fordham, not to be outdone, you all right over there? You going to make it?
I think so.
Okay. As for Fordham, they were 48 of 65 from the free throw line. 48 of 65. So Fordham, they miss 18 free throws, and they win. As for UMass, they miss 20 free throws. I'm sorry, Fordham misses 18 free throws, and they lose. As for UMass, they miss 20 and win. Go figure.
Well, you got to shoot well from the free throw line. If you don't, you could be in some problems. So, I mean, we say that all the time as broadcasters. You look at the free throw numbers at the end of the game. If you don't make them and you lose by seven, you always say it. You're a big component of that.
Yeah.
If you don't make your free throws, you could lose a game, and it could be key in a triple overtime game. But those are some wild foul numbers and free throw numbers. And by the way, Fordham is in the A-10. I looked it up, and in the Bronx.
Okay, gotcha, in the Bronx.
So
I was way off. Upstate New York is what I said.
Yeah, so I looked it up. I was like, oh, let me double check that.
New York for sure, but definitely not upstate New York. So kind of interesting there. 120-118, your final score in that contest. Also, this was making the rounds on social media as there was a game between Gardner Webb last night and Radford, and a little boy runs onto the floor. It's about a 3-point game with 1 minute and 6 seconds left to go. So high-intensity moment. Little boy runs onto the floor. It's during a timeout. So this kid probably no older than 3, maybe 4. And I just want to bring up the massive, colossal double standard. Like, this little boy runs onto the floor. It's cute. I run onto the floor. Tukes, you've got a drinking problem. You can't drink 13 Coors Lights and run onto the floor. You want to talk about a colossal double standard. He does it, no problem. I do it. I'm going to AA, and I'm being hauled away in cuffs. What is that?
You're going to jail, and that kid's getting called cute.
That kid's getting called cute. He's on social media. Look at how cool this is. Wow, what a moment. He'll remember this one for the rest of his life. On the other hand, big problem.
And that'll be a fun story for the parents, too, because the kid won't remember it. And when he's in, you know, college or whatever, they'll retell that story. And they'll be like, what? I never did that. We got video proof here, guys.
Let's go to the video. As a matter of fact, yes, we do. We do have video proof of that one. Good stuff. So I'm not going to be in studio tomorrow, so I got to lend my 2 cents on this one now. I'm sure you'll talk about it to a certain degree. Bills and Ravens, big matchup, of course, coming up on Sunday night. I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad it's on Sunday night because I would have really, really been disappointed if I would have missed this one on Saturday. And according to the folks there at ESPN, you get the matchup predictors. You know, you get this team has this percentage chance to win. This team gets that percentage. I think this is the first time. It's not to say it hasn't happened before, but it's the first time that I've seen it. You've got a 50-50 shot at this one between Buffalo and Baltimore. I think this game on paper should be an absolute dandy.
I think so too. I think the Bills are going to be ready to roll with their team because they played in Baltimore earlier this year on Sunday Night Football. It was 35-10. I'm not really looking at that and saying, well, I think the Ravens have a huge advantage after that. I think weather could play a factor. They're calling for like 8 above and some snow Saturday night, so it's going to be cold. But my thing is, for the Ravens' perspective, I think you got to stop their passing game because the Ravens' secondary isn't great. And if you're the Bills, it's not just stopping Lamar Jackson. I've been seeing that all week. Oh, you got to slow down Lamar. No, you got to slow down the run game. That's the big thing for the Bills. They ran for Derrick Henry ran for a 187 the first time they played. If you give that up, you got no chance. So I think the defenses is going to be the really big key to that game on Sunday night. I really do.
Looking forward to that one, certainly. And also seeing word that looks like we might have a snow game coming up with the Eagles and the Rams. So that'll be a lot of fun. I always love playoffs.
Advantage Philly there.
I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah, Rams and snow, I don't see them playing well in that.
Yeah, that's true. Although, I will say, didn't Matthew Stafford had a nice Philly snow game there back in the day? That was, I think, early to mid-2010s.
I remember that. LeSean McCoy was still on the Eagles, and Calvin Johnson was still in the league. I remember that game.
That was a great screenshot of Calvin Johnson after he makes a great diving catch in the snow, and he comes up and his face is just all snow-covered. Absolute classic stuff right there. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out, but I mean, I have been wrong before when it comes to picking the Rams to lose in the playoffs. I still did not see that one coming on Monday night, but I thought Sam Darnold would play a lot better than he did the week prior against the
I've watched that clip
Lions.
Of Paul Allen when he's calling that play. I mean, that play right there.
Throw it, man!
Yeah, throw it, man! Throw it! Run it! And I've watched that a good 5 times, and that play right there is just the epitome of the last 2 weeks for Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings. He had all day in the world. I'm still, like, watching that play back, you're like, why didn't he throw it?
I'm telling you, why didn't he throw the bubble screen to J.J. on the outside in the first quarter or second quarter? That was the play to the game to me. I was like, all right, this guy's just not letting it loose. He's thinking too much. This is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And it was.
Yeah, it really was. And now the Rams, it's just funny how we always talk about the NFL is a week-to-week league, and now you got people saying, oh, you got Matthew Stafford. He's got all that playoff experience. He won a Super Bowl. He can go into Philly and win. It's like, can we just tap the brakes here a little bit? I'm not saying the Rams don't have a chance, but come on. I mean, they play the Vikings team that stunk. Just the overreactions are funny. Same with the Texans-Chiefs game. Mm. It's crazy to me. I don't think the Texans got a chance in that game.
Watch the Texans just win like 35-3. How funny would that be?
It'd be wild.
I would be all here for it for sure. All right, coming up next on the show, we're talking some high school athletics as Sally Gall, Northern State alum, she'll join us live in studio. She's the new head honcho for the Aberdeen Christian Volleyball Squad. She'll join us in studio after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. He is Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Pleased to be joined in studio by Sally Gall. You can find her on Twitter or X if you prefer, at Gall Sally. And she joins us in studio. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. That's new head coach Sally Gall here on FSA, new coach of the Aberdeen Christian Night Squad, and make sure it is Gall Sally, because we were talking off the air. There's the old Twitter account that you created when you were probably, what, fifth grade, sixth grade, something like that?
Fifth grade was when I was allowed to get a Facebook and a Twitter, so.
yeah, that's not a very active account right now, and that's totally fine. But anyways, we'll talk about how this whole thing came to be for Aberdeen Christian. Kind of a cool deal that you go from a great college volleyball player to a coach, of course, with Coach Aldridge. Was it last year, 2 years ago? Technically 2 years ago, I think.
2 years ago, yeah, 2 seasons.
Right, and now you're the new head coach for Aberdeen Christian. How'd this come to be?
It kind of fell into my lap. Andre Cobbs, he's a digital photography teacher over at Central, and he's also the girls' head coach at Aberdeen Christian, and he gave him my name because he's seen me around school. They called me, and I had interest right away since I've worked with a lot of the girls this summer. So, yeah, that's kind of how it came to be.
And did you always kind of want to be a head coach once you finished playing and you were kind of under Coach Aldridge there? Was head coach always, a goal of yours or not really? Or
Absolutely. Head coach has always been a dream of mine. Head coach for a high school squad. I've always done club volleyball, which is fun. But to have my own program is really exciting, especially being 24 years old. And I think I learned a lot from Coach Aldridge and Coach Vancura over at Northern. And I feel really excited to be able to do it.
Yeah, kind of put your own stamp, your fingerprints on a program and see how that all works out. We're certainly going to talk about what that kind of looks like, but I want to go back in the past here a little bit about your trip to Northern State, because, I mean, 1,000 kills plus in your career, you're on the sideline, you're, you know, doing it there as well with Coach Aldridge in terms of learning, you know, the next steps of, you know, film study and this, that, and the third. Can you kind of walk us through your path to get to Northern State?
Well, to be honest, I wasn't really sure if I wanted to play volleyball in college. I shouldn't say wanted to. I didn't know if I had the capability to do so. And it wasn't until about my junior year I finally, like, was playing on the varsity squad. And I was like, hey, I think I could do this. And, you know, school started reaching out that club season. And I think the first one that actually reached out was Winona. And I was like, no, Mom, I don't think so. I don't want to go there. And she was like, we started looking at places in the conference, and we were like, hey, this team's pretty good. Like, their record's pretty good, and they have an outside who's going to graduate, you know. And that was kind of a big thing, is I really hate sitting on the bench, and I wanted to go, and I wanted to compete at a high level. And, yeah, so then I reached out to Coach, and he was like, yeah, come up for a camp. And he offered me, and it was the best decision I've ever made, yeah.
And now you have set the second most kills in Northern State history. So it's kind of crazy thinking about that and saying, hey, I didn't know if I really wanted to play volleyball until you were, what, a junior in high school?
Yeah. And really, that's when I blossomed. My junior year, senior year, I started to, you know, grow a little bit. And I became a lot more serious about volleyball, I would say, because I was in soccer and volleyball at the same time. Soccer was in the spring for us down in Iowa. And so, yeah, I made the decision, and volleyball was my thing. I was like, I love volleyball, and I want to do this for as long as I possibly can.
Sally Gall joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Center back is my guess for soccer.
I was the goalie.
Goalie. It's either one of those two. With the tall girls, it's usually center back or goalie.
Yep, goalkeeper.
Oh, well,
they were like, they actually came to me my freshman year. They were like, hey, you're tall and you're coordinated, and you got good hand-eye coordination. You want to be our goalie? And I was like, sure, like, it'll just kind of be my fun sport. You know, I got a little serious with it, and then, yeah.
Is that kind of the sport to a degree where you almost find your voice, especially as a goalkeeper on defense? Because you're not just standing there for 90 minutes. You actually have to call out your defense and signals, and you're aligning everybody else in front of you. I feel like for a young high school girl, that or boy for that matter, that might be a great sport where you kind of find your voice a little bit as a goalie, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was hard for me because I feel like I didn't have as wide of a knowledge about soccer as, like, my teammates. But I had a lot of really great seniors when I came in my freshman year who kind of helped me to understand. And, you know, I had a really great goalkeeper coach, too. So,
nice.
Yeah.
And looking at this Christian team a season ago, we talked a lot about them, right, Tukes, this fall. They really had a nice season. So, and you said you kind of worked with the girls in the off season, you know, the summer camps or whatnot. So, you know, you're already kind of putting your stamp on the program already.
Yeah. So a couple girls, they do private lessons, or I shouldn't say private lessons, fitness training over at the YMCA with Peyton Ellingson, another Northern State standout, you know, my old roommate, my old teammate. And they reached out to her to do volleyball lessons, and she kind of handed them over to me. And I think it was probably the week before tryouts, all five of the girls, they were like, we want to work out every day. We want to come, we want to play volleyball every day. And I really like that attitude, that mindset, that they want to get better before tryouts. I think that's really awesome. So, yeah.
It's an incredible conference. I mean, the LRC is awesome. You've got Warner and Northwestern that are right here in the area. Obviously, like Matt mentioned, Aberdeen Christian's been playing well lately. You got Hitchcock Tulare, who was a state tournament team last year. Ironically enough, you got one of those gals that's going to be at Northern State next year in Caitlin Schroeder. But I want to ask you about your coaching, I guess, acumen, for lack of a better term. You learn a lot from Coach Aldridge. What was it like playing for him, and what was it like coaching alongside him?
Honestly, I feel like it didn't change much just because I made my mark as, I would say, probably freshman, sophomore. So being able to be under his wing for those last 2 years of my career and then kind of continuing as a coach was really cool. He gave me a lot of responsibilities, which I appreciated because of I wanted to be a head coach. I wanted to be a head volleyball coach. And, you know, he taught me so much about the game. I think I had a pretty good knowledge of the game before, but but he taught me so much about the game, like just volleyball IQ is what we call it, and just like knowing matchups and knowing who to set, you know, process of elimination, kind of like, oh, if the ball's way outside, like we know where it's going to go, you know, kind of stuff like that. The nuances, I would say, not so much like technique, just kind of volleyball knowledge was one thing that was huge for me, I would say.
Kind of a big picture question, you know, what's kind of the next couple weeks look like? Are you getting right into it, you know, talking to the team or you know, camps and things, or is it kind of you're easing your way into the process? Is it, how's that kind of work?
Well, so I kind of just finished my paperwork. So right now, nothing. I'm hoping to kind of ease my way in and, you know, maybe implement some open gyms here and there to get the girls in the gym so I can get to know them before summer rolls around and we can really do a lot of summer workouts. It's nice that I'm not a super busy individual. You know, I'm 24. I don't have a family. So I think it'll be really great that I have the time and the ability to do that for them, because I feel like in the past they haven't really had a huge summer program presence. So I'm really excited that I can kind of be the one to implement that.
New head coach for the Aberdeen Christian volleyball squad, Sally Gall, joining us here in studio on FSA. What made you want to stick around Aberdeen? You know, sometimes student-athletes come here, just students in general. They stay. Sometimes they go back home or somewhere else. What made you want to stay here in Aberdeen?
I told Jackie this when she interviewed me a couple days ago, and really it's always, since I've been here, it's felt like home. I like the slow-pacedness of it. I'm from Des Moines, Iowa, a much bigger town, and although I miss my family and I love them so much, like this kind of just has become my home. And then, you know, I met a boy, and now we're engaged. We just bought a house. I'm really setting down roots, and, yeah, this is going to be my forever home.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
So are we invited? Are we standing up for this wedding? Are we talking open bar? What are we doing here? No, I'm teasing. But, no, congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Also at Northern, did you meet? Did you meet?
Yep. Dylan Stabner, he played football
sure.
over at Northern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Looking at the roster, you know, for Aberdeen Christian, pretty young.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
A lot of freshmen, a lot of sophomores. I'm seeing here, what, only two seniors that graduated from this past year. So,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of youth, but probably a good amount of varsity experience, right?
Yeah, and it's the most that's the most formative years of your volleyball career, and I think it's really awesome that I get to step in when they're so young. There's a lot of really, really great sophomores, freshmen, Ari, Jolie. I think they're going to do amazing things. So I'm really excited to get in the gym and see how much they've improved, even from last summer when I was working with them.
A couple more here with Sally Gall on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5 on the Sports Hub on FSA. So this is your first job as a head coach. Do you reach out to Coach Aldridge a little bit for how do you run practice? Well, I mean, you've been running practice before, I'm sure, at Northern State. I mean, you've been a player for years. You kind of know how to do it. But do you reach out to people, or do you kind of have it all sort of figured out?
Coach is the first person I go to for everything. When I first got asked to be the head coach, I was like, all right, Coach, I need you to tell me that I'm prepared to do this because I really want to say yes. And he's been super helpful. I think I'll probably always have his number on speed dial. He's my mentor. And I think my high school coach over in Iowa, she's pretty busy, but I think she's probably going to be a mentor for me as well.
Doesn't it kind of amaze you how the coaches that you've had or just coaches that you know through the grapevine, they will do just about anything to see you succeed? I feel like in certain like careers, you don't want to get your job taken from you, like in football or in sports anyway. It's like, yeah, you know, we drafted player X. Like, okay, well, player Y is, you know, anticipated to kind of groom that person to be the next player X or something like that. But in coaching, feels like those coaches that have been around for a little bit, they love mentoring that next generation. Isn't that kind of cool?
It's awesome. And I hope that I will be able to do that someday for my future athletes. Yeah.
There you go.
Said coaching with Brent Aldridge there. What was that kind of like from your perspective? Obviously, you were playing there, and you were great, and, you know, he was coaching you, and then, you know, after you graduated, you were coaching alongside Coach Aldridge. Was it different at all, or not really, or?
Not really. I think we worked together really well. I did play for him for 5 years, so that helps out. But we worked together really well, and I think the biggest thing was he helped me a lot, and Holly Van Kira, the assistant coach, helped me a lot with the film side of it and all that scouting. You know, now I'm able to, you know, make my charts and mark, you know, shooting or not shooting, whatever, attacking range and all that kind of stuff. Like, I think that's really what I learned the most in my graduate assistant year.
Well, congratulations on the new gig. Congratulations on the engagement, the new house, all that good stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
Dog coming up next?
No dog.
Oh.
I love dogs. I just don't want one on my own.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
How come? Too much work?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because of the dogs that I had back at home when I was living at home.
Gotta get a golden retriever, man.
Yeah, maybe.
Goldens are the best.
I have a mini Aussie, and he is fun.
just a terror around.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on everything. I'm sure we'll talk to you later on down the road, and great to have you in studio here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks so much. Head coach of the Aberdeen Christian Volleyball Squad. That is, of course, Sally Gall here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I almost wanted to call you there, Coach Van Kira. You mentioned her a couple times, so I almost dropped that in. But Coach Gall here in studio on FSA. That's the voice of your Aberdeen Central Golden Eagles, Matt McClure. He joins yours truly live in studio on FSA. And we are now pleased to be joined by the head coach of that very same squad of Aberdeen Central. He is Brent Aldridge. Coach, thanks for taking some time this morning. We appreciate it. Excuse me, Norbert.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, sorry. We were just talking about Northern State Volleyball. We had Brent Aldridge on top of mind. Brent Norberg, excuse me. So clearly
no problem.
I need to
no
have
problem.
A little more coffee here in studio, apparently. But thanks for taking some time. And a nice win for you guys last Tuesday down south there in Watertown. You guys have had some incredible matchups with that Watertown squad over the last handful of years. And that's kind of a nice win for the squad here to kind of get things going the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always good when you go on the road and win. It was a fun game, really close. I think at one point maybe they had a 6-point lead. I think we had a couple 5-point leads, but other than that, it was touch and go and tight the whole game. So it's fun to see how kids handle that and how they react. And I thought our kids made a lot of plays. We took care of the ball the best we've done all year, and then we're just able to make one more play than them and got out of there with a win.
Brendan Phillips, coach, he likes playing in this Watertown team. He hit that game winner last year at home. Then Tuesday night, he had 28 points. He scored the last 6 points for you guys. I mean, he just seems to play his best games versus the Arrows.
Yeah, he's had some good moments against them, but he really played probably one of his better games for us because he was so aggressive, and he got a lot of stuff at the rim, and he didn't settle for jump shots, and he scored in so many different ways. You know, he made a three, he made some pull, he drove, he posted up, got some offensive rebounds, so he was very versatile that night. It was really, really good, and a lot of guys played well, but he really had a great game.
Is it fair to say, Coach, that, you know, he's gotten bigger, stronger, and that contact, you know, and when he drives in the paint, it really doesn't bother him as much maybe than it did, you know, in years past just because he's gotten bigger and stronger?
I think so, and I you know, he's a self-made player. He's worked really, really hard, you know, and he was a tall, skinny, lanky kid when he was younger, and he got himself in the weight room and he got stronger. But now he understands that early on he would drive and that first bump that you're always going to get would kind of take you offline, where now he fights that bump and then keeps going and finishes right at the rim and is strong enough to go through some arms and do it and sometimes get some and ones or get to the free throw line. You know, he shot 14 free throws on Tuesday, and that means he's attacking the basket. So, and that's all strength. And he did that. He just got busy, and he just didn't miss anything. Didn't miss open gyms, didn't miss a lift, and now he's a lot better equipped to take the pounding that a good player in AA has to take.
Head coach Brent Norberg joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and you talk about being a self-made player. I mean, you've been coaching now for a good amount of years, Coach. What does that mean to you when you see a player that you know probably has the tools to be a really, really special player really take that next step by just attacking the offseason? What does that kind of mean to you? That's got to put a smile on your face.
Well, it's awesome. And, you know, a lot of credit goes to him and his parents, and they, that's something they always wanted to do. I think his dad has spent a lot of time with them as well. But as a coach, you know, all you can ask is give these kids opportunities. And some kids take them, and some kids maybe don't take them as much. And it's fun to see the kids that have some natural gifts that Brendan has and also take those gifts and really, really work hard and try to be as good a player as he can be. You know, there are a lot of things he couldn't do 2 years ago on a basketball court that he's very good at now, and that's just from weight room, from being at open gym, working hard, being coachable, and being a great teammate.
Yeah, I thought it was a really gutsy win for you guys against Watertown coach. You were dealing with some illnesses, so guys had to play bigger roles. Colby Dowen doesn't score a lot for you guys, but he had 13 points in that game, so guys just stepped up big time. The others around Phillips, you know, whether it was Dutenhofer, whether it was Dowen, Weishar, Birch, those guys really stepped up in a big way.
Yeah, everyone had, you know, when you go into a game like that and you're down a couple guys, everyone has to play at a high level. And that was Colby's best game of the year for us, no question. And he did a lot of it the same way Brennan did, attacked the rim, got to the basket, and used his physicality. And he's a strong kid as well. And he was able to get the rim and finish stuff there. And Jack Birch, obviously, is a big, strong kid. He was solid. And, you know, especially early, we had a little foul trouble in the first half with Jacob. So Jack had to play extended minutes. And he was just coming off being sick for 3 days. So I'm really proud of the guts and the effort that the guys showed. It was a really gritty win. And everyone, you know, Michael Dudenhofer, same thing. He came back from being sick. So really proud of the win. We got to build on it now. We got to, you know, get this illness that's running through our team through us here. And obviously go play a really tough schedule coming up.
Brent Norberg here on FSA. How important is it for teams to win games like that, especially, like you mentioned, a gritty win with some players down with injury and illness and what have you on the road? Probably a pretty tough place to play there. I know Watertown, you know, not that long ago, that place was kind of a dark and dingy place. They did a great job with their gym. I think it looks fantastic nowadays. But just how important is it to win games like that when your backs are kind of up against the wall and you absolutely need other players to step up?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question as a coach and player that those are the most fun for us as coaches, to gut out a tight game and be down 6 points to start the fourth quarter and able to find a way to outscore them in the fourth quarter and win. Those are fun just because as a coach, you want to develop tough kids. You want kids that are going to, you know, take on some obstacles and overcome them. And that, you know, that's part of being a man and growing up a little bit. And that's part of what we do too when we coach kids and teach kids. So it's great to see that. Exciting for them and to see their faces afterwards when you have a lot of things stacked against you and you find a way to win anyway. Those are obviously the most enjoyable wins as a coach.
T, on Saturday, Coach, you mentioned it earlier, you just want to build off of that great win versus Watertown. I talk a lot about it. You know, stacking wins is important, especially if you can get another one here on the road. What do you think it's going to take on Saturday to do just that?
Well, you know, they're very athletic. They've got a lot of young, good athletic guards. They got a lot of kids, and they'll try to pressure. We have to handle their pressure. It's a different kind of pressure. It's not going to be full court. It's going to kind of be a three-quarter court to a half court. And if we can handle that and make them guard us in the half court, I think we have some things that we can do. If we don't handle the pressure, it's going to be a long day for us. So we got to do that. We got to do a better job rebounding. We're struggling a little bit with keeping guards off the boards because we'll run to the rim instead of going making hits. So if we can rebound, take care of the ball, I think we'll have a good chance.
Head coach Brent Norberg joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And, you know, certainly most coaches would say, you know, I'd like to have more wins from that perspective. And I know, you know, look at your season right now, you guys have had a tough schedule, certainly. You're 2-5 overall, but a lot of season to go. I know you'd like to have more wins, no doubt, but is this kind of where you expected to be right now at this point in time of the season, looking ahead from, you know, maybe November, kind of prognosticating out?
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to say. Every year is different. You know, we had a lot of guys this year that we were going to count on that didn't have a ton of experience. Brendan was the only one that really played a lot of minutes. We had some guys that towards the end of the year were playing some minutes off the bench. So I think we kind of underestimated, and then we had a sophomore or two that were playing in there, haven't had any experience yet. So I think, you know, you just don't know. You think in practice that you're one thing, and then you play those first few games and you weren't. And, you know, those first two games we had at home, we really threw the ball around a lot. And if we would take care of the ball the way we take care of the ball now, those outcomes would have been a lot different, but they weren't. So sometimes you got to go through that to learn and then get better and try to figure it out. Our kids have done that. It's just unfortunate that we weren't able to get the wins and learn a little bit. And then when we went out west, we did get a little better at some things, but same thing. We just didn't, we're a lot better team than we are now, and we have a lot, you know, the toughest part of our schedule coming up, so we need that. But yeah, you'd always like to be. I guess I never go in thinking we'll be this and this after seven games, but I certainly hoped we'd be better than 2-5. But I like how much better we've gotten since the first weekend, and right now that's all you can really worry about.
Yeah, and even when you weren't really playing your best, right, Coach, at the beginning of the season, Tukes was talking about this, I think, last week. You know, you've been in pretty much every game you played, including Sioux Falls Lincoln last Friday. You know, yes, we were trailing in that game by 10, but it got to single digits. So that can help with the confidence, right, just knowing that you're pretty much in every game you play right now.
Yeah, you know, we have been for the most part. You know, Lincoln's a juggernaut. I mean, they're really, really good. I was proud of our guys, how we played. We took care of the ball. We didn't turn it over. They try to give you a lot of pressure, but their size just ended up getting to us. But, yeah, we had a chance here and there. I think we had the score at 10 or 9, and we had about three straight possessions where we stopped them. We just couldn't score. But, yeah, I'm proud of the way the guys fight. Every time they go out there, they feel they can win. And when you have a team that can do that, you got a chance. You know, there's no defeated look in them. There's no, like, oh, we can't beat these guys. Let's wait to play this team. You know, that's not how these guys are made. They think they can win every game, and it doesn't matter. We went into Watertown with only seven kids available, and our guys didn't bat an eye. They didn't care, didn't worry about it, and said, we'll just go with these guys, and we'll get it done. So that's kind of the attitude we have to have the rest of the year.
Now, somebody that's been impressive here is, I think, at least to start the season, is Luke Swanson, the couple games that he's played. I tell you, he can get to his spots on the floor when he gets to that baseline. He could pull up from the baseline with that jumper, also the 15-footer. He's really fast, too. I mean, he handled that pressure, like you were talking about, with Sioux Falls Lincoln pretty well. I mean, he's a pretty young guy on your squad. I mean, do you like how he's playing this year?
Yeah, I do. You know, that first weekend he was hurt, and then the second week he was kind of trying to just figure out how to play with us. So every game he's played now, he's gotten a little bit better. I thought Tuesday night he struggled a little bit early, but came out of it and made a big three in the second half, made some other big plays. But, you know, what I like about Luke is he's just going to keep coming. He's going to listen to you, he's going to try it, and he's not going to make the same mistake twice too many times. I mean, he's going to learn from it, he's going to try it. But he's very tough, he's very physical, very competitive. Kind of, he's got a lot of the traits you really like in a point guard. He's only going to get better. So yeah, we're pleased with where he's at, and he's got a long way to go to get to where he wants to be, I'm sure.
Maybe one or two more here with Brent Norberg on FSA. Have you seen much of change in Class AA? I know that's kind of a broad question, but a lot of different styles this year, or kind of a lot of the same heavy hitters from last year?
It's similar. You know, there are some teams. It's so early still. I mean, there are a lot of teams that start the year in a certain way. They're near their ceiling, and there were a lot of us this year, I think, that weren't anywhere near our ceiling. So I think there's a lot of teams that are getting better. So I think at the end of the year, it's going to look different. You know, you start the year, and, you know, you had Mitchell, and you had Lincoln, and you had Jefferson, and some of these teams. Well, Jefferson struggled a little bit. Mitchell struggled the last couple of games. Lincoln has just been probably the most consistent, best team. But, you know, you look at O'Gorman, too. Everyone kind of starts at a certain way, and they get better. And a lot of time, you know, whether it's playing younger kids or the competition practice, whatever it is, but you get better, and that's kind of what's going on right now. So it's an interesting year. Last year, I think you came into the year, and there were a couple teams that were kind of head and shoulders that you thought, okay, they're going to be there at the end. But this year, you know so as much. So I think it'll be interesting how it finishes.
Yeah, and, you know, Lincoln, to your point, Coach, I mean, I was looking at their record last year. It was 10-11, and, you know, they've kind of come out of the gate strong here. And like you said, they're kind of like a juggernaut, but – you know, just looking at, you know, Class AA as a whole, you kind of already answered it there. You know, how do you kind of just make those steps forward, you know, to get where you want to be at the end of the season?
Well, you just got to keep working on the things. You know, every game there's, you know, things will come up that you get better on. And then times where you think you've got that figured out, then you don't. And you just got to continue every game and kind of go back to, all right, what do we got to get better at? You know, obviously you win on Tuesday, it feels good. Sometimes when you win, you don't really look at what you need. There are a lot of things we need to do better in that game where we maybe could have had a better handle on that game. We didn't rebound very well. We got out-rebounded by a team that we're a lot bigger than. So that's a concern for me. We got to get better at that. But you just got to stack days of practice, stack games of just getting better every time. And don't waste the time when you're on the floor. And then at the end, you know, you try to roll the dice and see what you can do with the best you are.
I'm a big fan of the stacking. You know, talk about this a lot. We talk, Coach. We talk about stacking wins all the time on the Sports Hub, and now you're using it. Matt's using it. This is good stuff. 25 is like the year of stacking wins and stacking good segments. Well, with the exception of me calling you Coach Aldridge to begin, I think we stacked a good segment right here. So, Coach, appreciate you doing this. Continued success and good luck against T here in the not too distant future.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me.
You got it. Our pleasure, for sure. Brent Norberg, head coach of the Aberdeen Central Boys basketball squad. And, you know, to his point, the fact that he says that Sioux Falls Lincoln is a juggernaut, and they are. If you look at the actual numbers, their scoring differential is plus 19, which just goes to show you they're not just winning games. They're winning very, very handily. But Aberdeen Central is right there against those guys. And Aberdeen Central right now, 2-5, to me, and I guess this is just kind of me being a little myopic to a certain degree, but that's the best team, statistically speaking, in AA against a team in Aberdeen Central that's sitting at 2-5 now after defeating Watertown. So is there really that much of a huge gap between top and kind of middle tier, bottom tier sort of thing? I don't know. I mean, when you have a game like that on your home floor, it was a 3-possession game at one point in time late. So just goes to show you, any single night, anything can happen in AA.
Yeah, it's really AA basketball at its finest. We saw it last year with the Golden Eagles. They played Sioux Falls Roosevelt, who was a great team last year. They played them to a two-point game at home. They beat Harrisburg last year, who was number two. You got to bring your A game. If not, you can get caught and you can get beat. And I think the Golden Eagles, when they get, you know, it's cliche, but when you get the others involved in the offense, good things have happened. And that's been their two wins this year. They had Weishar, Swanson, and Phillips in double figures the game they won versus Yankton. You saw it on Tuesday. Phillips led the charge with the 28, but you got that 13 from Colby. You got the 8 from Birch. I mean, when you get that diversity scoring, they've won games. Now, I think they're a tough team, and I think that's going to help them moving forward. They're tough, and he said something that you need as a team. And why I think he's a great coach, they go on the floor every night thinking that they can win. And that's something that not all teams have, and they have it. And I think that could help them moving forward.
No doubt about it. Coming up next on the show, we're going to wrap things up. We'll take a look at some Jeep action from last night and also a pretty busy Thursday night on the high school side of things. On the girls' side, the 281 conference tournament that gets started up. This is one thing I kind of like about the 281 tournament, as they have sort of a mid-season tournament. See, they did it before it was cool. The NBA, they're like, oh, we got this play-in tournament or whatever, like this mid-season tournament in December. It's like, yeah, 281 conference tournament in South Dakota. They're doing it before it was cool. Anyways, we'll talk about that and more after this. Sports Hub continues on FSA. He's Matt McClure. I'm Tukes. Glad to be with you on this Thirsty Thursday installment of the show. Follow us on Twitter or X at Fox Sports 1420 AM and at @_Cobra 66 and at David Tewksbury there as well. Some Jeep action from last night on the women's side of things. Dakota Wesleyan getting past Morningside 57-55. Emma Yost with a team high set 14 points there in the victory. And on the guys' side, Dakota Wesleyan falling to Morningside, final tally 79-72. Big shout-out goes to UND and their defense. They slowed down Grace Larkins. She only had 14 points and 13 rebounds and 6 assists. Boy, talk about an off night. Actually, that sounds like a great night. But for her, as Larkins, I think she put up, what, 43 in a game last weekend? So pretty good defense there from UND as they earned the 80-54 victory there for the Fighting Hawks. And other GPAC games of note, you can check it all out on our website, HubCityRadio.com. High school basketball today, a pretty busy schedule on tap. It all begins with the 281 conference tournament there in Woolsey. Round two, that'll be on Monday on January 20th there, inauguration day at the Huron Arena. 1-8 pairing, Sanborn Central Woonsocket against JVC. 4-5, Wessington Springs against Woolsey Wessington. 2-7 is Highmore Herald against Sunshine Bible. And 3-6, Hitchcock Tulare against Iroquois Lake Preston. High school boys basketball for tonight. One broadcast on our airwaves at 7:30 over on Pheasant Country 103. Aberdeen Ron Colley, they'll play host to Sisseton tonight. As Ron Colley, they have been in so many games this season. Some they've won close, some they've lost close. And a great opportunity for them to get back on their home floor and see if they can kind of right the wrongs of some of those close losses. Ron Colley, a team that kind of reminds me a lot of Aberdeen Central to a degree, is they're going to be in just about every single game this season. And Coach Norberg has, like you mentioned, they feel like they got a chance to win every single game. They feel like they're going to win every single game. And I feel like, to a certain degree, Ron Colley has to feel kind of similar, right?
Yeah, I think so. It's just a matter of, can you score enough points? I feel like that's the big thing that Ron Colley needs to focus on offensively moving forward. They just have a couple games in there where they can't get the offense going. They match up really well, though, versus a Sisseton team that struggles on the offensive end. They're 1-4, Sisseton is. But Aberdeen Ron Colley is such a good defensive team. I think this is going to be a pretty low-scoring game, I think. And I think the first to 30 could really win this game. I really believe that.
It's like a Big Ten game.
Yeah.
But that was old, usually first to 50. But kind of like a Big Ten game to a certain degree. And also of note, on the high school wrestling side of things, you've got Aberdeen Central with their try tonight taking on Yankton and Brandon Valley. And on the college side, Northern State down south at Sioux Falls Place there against Augustana. Back at it tomorrow.